Mommy's Little Failure Factory Diaper Boy Baby Box. Coming soon. Only at Target. Me and Frank were just talking about our LG C10 OLED TVs on Twitter.
Oh man, we're both going to get really annoying talking about that.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear about
that. Well, I've noticed. Well, actually, it's funny that you say nobody because I have seen so many people talking about that TV on Twitter in the last week or so. Yeah. I'm like, oh, am I an unoriginal punk for buying this thing now? Because
I think y'all must be looking for it because I haven't seen anybody.
Oh, well, LG C10, also known as CX, if you see anybody talking about any TV this new console generation season, that's going to be the one they're talking about, I guess. I've never seen anything so closely resembling
TV. Consensus on a television. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like everyone has decided that is the TV. And also, I guess it helps that everyone has decided that this year is the year to buy a new TV. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I needed a new TV because literally my TV broke. So conveniently, it broke right around the time that I launched a successful Patreon campaign.
Glass shattering sound effect.
Doom, paired with Doom shotgun. Lately, I've been also adding a third sound effect to it. Stay tuned to my videos to find out which. I'm loving this TV so far, Frank.
Yeah, me too.
Do you have bias lighting on yours?
Not yet.
Oh, you should get that one that I linked on Twitter. I'm really pleased with it.
It just kind of seems like a rebranded version of a like $10 LED lighting thing that we got to play around with before. So I'm gonna search around.
It has a remote control,
so
and you can change the color, and it's also, this is the most important thing, it's bendable easily, and you can form a perfect rectangle with it very easily. It was very easy for me to bend it into a rectangle. I have had no luck with bias lighting. They always come in these little strips, and the adhesive like falls off after about a minute, and you got to use packing tape to keep it on there. And then back of your TV looks like, I don't know, looks like some nonsense. Though this one I got, this Luma Noodle, it's called. I'm very pleased by it. And that's all I have to say about that. Good bias lighting. Every game player should have bias lighting on their TV.
Good bias and hello, yes. Why don't we start the show?
Yeah, let's make a question about bias lighting someday if you'd like.
Maybe if you win the episode, we can do that.
No, I have another question that I promised one of my own Patreon backers that I would ask his question the next time I have a question. And it's a good question. So,
well, this week I've got the first question, and I'm going to ask it right after I do this very quick intro.
Kill me, bro.
Y'all ever see robotics?
In general?
Robotics. No, with an X. I'm sorry. I realize that I'm looking at a VHS tape that you can't see that has specific spelling of the word robotics. It's got awesome action. Robotics, the metal crunching action toy sensation, battles for victory in its first fully animated feature length home video special. Are you aware of this?
Was there a second one?
I think they had a couple of episodes, but it was like they were trying to launch a TV line. Who was trying to do it? Milton Bradley. And it says a Holocaust has devastated the planet Scalor and destroyed virtually all its inhabitants. But CompuCore, the planet's central intelligence, saved the robotics by absorbing them. 3 million years later. 3 million years, Lord.
It's a long time.
3 million years later, the robotics live again, but they are divided. There are peaceful Protectons and the evil Terracores. Both want to rule the planet Scalor, but only one can win. An interplanetary battle is set. Who will win? Oh, but only one can. Well, whatever. I can't read words, but here's what's stupid about that. All these robots have little humans in them, and who are not mentioned in this at all. So the robotics got absorbed, but where do these humans come? I don't know. I'll watch it and let you know later.
Hello, and welcome back to the Dirtbag Hour.
Is everybody ready to go?
I don't think so. I just wanted to announce that I was back.
All right. Welcome back.
Okay. I just want to look up firstvideo.com, which is on my videotape, and see if that's, and then I'll be, darn. Yeah, it's gone. Sorry, First Video. All right. That's all.
Daddy's dead.
Let's get back to it.
Okay.
Daddy's dead. Who killed Daddy? The answer lies at the bottom of the dirtbag. Joe Biden is 78 years old, man.
Yeah.
It's, well, he will be 78. Too old to be anything.
It's too old to be trusted with. I would not want him as the manager of a gas station.
Yeah, the thing I was going to say before Jaffe, like, just tried to make the episode end was that it's actually really important that people get and vote on the day, because if there's not enough votes on the day, it increases the likelihood that if Trump is winning on Tuesday, whenever it is, right? The next morning, if he's still winning, he will then do whatever is required to try and convince the other conservatives to side with him to stop counting votes, right?
Yeah.
So you have to get out and vote on the day, or in a way where your vote is counted on that day by putting in a ballot box or something like that, because otherwise there's a chance that it could drag on. No, I actually don't believe that's likely, because I think that Trump, even on the day, will be smashed by about 9 points, to be completely honest. But at this point, why chance it? Just fucking get out and do the voting, you know?
You want to know something cool, Matthew Kumar? Mm-hmm. My polling place is the lobby of my apartment building.
Oh, nice. Wow.
They're using it as the polling place for this neighborhood. Isn't that great? I don't even have to go outdoors to vote. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, because you don't be outside. But then you've already had the coronavirus, so you're sitting pretty, I suppose.
He had it twice.
I had it twice.
Okay, so, then you don't want to try a third time, really, do you?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I don't have to really go anywhere to do it. But I'm gonna go down and vote for this guy. This goddamn guy. The next president we have better be a real one. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, would be nice.
The 538 number right now is an all-time high, which is very nice.
That's good.
Yeah,
I'm very. If we 100. Do get a next president, that would be something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other vote for Biden.
I mean, it's going to go Biden, then Kamala Harris. I mean, that's just literally. I mean, he will not make. I find it hard to believe he will make a full term, to be completely honest.
You think he's just waiting to die?
these guys live a long time, though. Yeah. These skeletons.
They keep the shambling corpse shambling.
Dick Cheney. Yeah, honestly,
like, have you heard him talk? Like, he can barely fucking string a sentence together.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing
it's horrible.
He's like a broken AI that keeps going back to, you see, or the thing is, or Jack, like, he just keeps spinning back. It is literally. I mean, I would obviously, like everyone else, to be like, okay, fuck it, I just got to do it. But it is probably, if I was an American, I'd be so ashamed to just exist at this point.
Well,
like, you are literally looking at a guy who looks like a Frank Miller drawing of a zombie versus another guy who kind of looks like a Frank Miller drawing of a zombie. Like, there's just no...
But like the fat kind. Like,
yeah,
like
the fat
like the kingpin or something, yeah.
Yeah, a bloater, as they're called. And,
right.
It's terminology.
Horrible. Like I feel sorry for you. I
feel
sorry
for us.
I was pretty politically outspoken and open minded during the 2000 election. You all remember that one? And I feel these really grim flashbacks to that now, where it's like except it's much, much worse right now than it was then. Except then I was 20 years younger, which means everything was kind of amplified.
The thing about the 2000 election is that the Democrats just gave up. Like, they literally at one point went, like, we'll stop fighting this Florida thing, when the fact is it was fucking crooked and they could have kept fighting it. But everyone was like, oh, we have to believe in decorum and the system, and then therefore we accept the situation. And it's like, I actually place everything wrong that's happened since that point down on the Democrats folding. And like, this is the one situation where like, yeah, vote for Biden or whatever like that. But like, you know, as Brandon says, like, don't just assume that 5% chance of him getting anything done. People just have to keep being in the streets. There's nothing else, because these people will never do anything for you. You literally watched, like, I think honestly, Chuck Schumer has to be my favorite Twitter comedian, because that tweet that he did about like,
Well,
they managed to get Amy Coney Barrett in, but we will never forget and we'll never stop fighting. And stuff like that. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? You literally did nothing.
Yeah.
Like, or the one where he's like, listen, people have not had any money. And so I had a terrible story about someone committing suicide because their money was taken away. And so that's why I believe in suicide prevention. You're like, you literally explained the problem in the tweet. You explained the problem, and then your solution was not the fix to the problem.
That man is his own Chris Morris character, as far as I'm concerned.
The solution was to punish the people that are having a hard time, as usual.
Welcome to the Insert Credit Podcast.
And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson makes fun of Jason Statham for not having hair. And he goes, look who's talking, mate, like that or something to him, because they both don't have hair. And they make fun of each other for weird, superficial, kind of sort of fake, what do you call it, trying too hard reasons in those
movies.
Sounds
like you got your 90s buddy comedy ready to go.
Man, I haven't watched that Hobbs and Shaw movie, though. I'm pretty sure it's not good.
I haven't either.
I would probably watch it. You know what? Statham's all right. Did you ever see those Transporter movies?
Didn't really like them, but yes.
Yeah. It's like they're real bad. However, they're weird at least, right?
Yeah, that's something. I just rewatched Pitch Black.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't seen that one in a while.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
See Riddick the Third in the Riddick series after Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick?
I don't think I did. I was looking it up and I just realized that I guess.
Oh, man. If you want to have a pretty good time watching a direct-to-video movie that was released to theaters in the middle of the Marvel crescendo, that's a good weird one to roll around in for a bit. It is extremely structurally interesting. That's all I can say about it. It does not feel at all like a Hollywood movie.
I'll watch the Chronicles of Riddick again first, and then I'll get through to it.
Man, I like that stupid Chronicles of Riddick so much, man. I don't know why. Carl Urban kills it in that, dude. Carl Urban owns it in that film, man. Anyway, that's my opinion of Chronicles of Riddick, another film that is structurally bizarre. It's
kind of all over the place. But there's some movies that are structurally bizarre that I just cannot get behind. I don't know if we talked about Jupiter.
Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, that is
that's a nice attempt at structural texturalizationing of a film. Though I do think the Riddick film you may enjoy a little bit more in terms of its structure, because it has the structure of, like, not to give too much away, it has the structure of like good weird pulp writing from like the 20s. It feels kind of like a Conan story in a really good way. So I was very impressed by how much it felt. It reminded me of Conan.
I'll watch it on Fandango.
Oh, Fandango? You can watch films on Fandango. Sponsored by Fandango.
Yeah, where's our Fandango sponsorship?
I love Fandango.
Yeah, we got to reach out to Fandango.
Fandango, let me know.
Anybody got to go to the bathroom? Yeah,
I'm going to go make big squirt, and then I'm going to get myself Bevo to do an opposite squirt.
Yeah, D-Bev and Rebev.
I just want to say I don't actually recommend the film No Escape starring Ray Liotta.
No.
Anyone encountering that at the end, that's not, it's cool. My big brother watched that movie like 600 times for some reason.
It's not a great movie, but it definitely, the most interesting thing about it is how they managed to avoid any reference even to a woman. There's not a picture of a woman. Like, that, all the prisoners aren't like, wish I could get back to my baby or whatever. It's all just a bunch of dudes that forgot about women entirely, but do want to beat each other up a lot.
Well, they're in jail. There's no women in jail.
It's true.
My big brother had I've been over the kind of weird taste he had in films as in the 90s. Like The Crow, he was looking forward to The Crow for like 2 years. It's like all he would talk about was The Crow. He read Fangoria and Starlog.
It's probably because your parents took you to see Beetlejuice that he wanted to see The Crow.
Yeah, I think so. Like he was hooked on dark gothic stuff, and then he ended up it's kind of the normalist as far as the Midwest goes kind of dude.
It's pretty weird how much goth stuff there was in the 90s. I really didn't realize it at the time, but like The Matrix, Blade, The Crow, just like
Beetlejuice,
and into the 2000s. Like in the 2000s, if you got a Russian lady as your villainess, or even as your femme fatale, or whatever, just like the
Triple X,
the one lady character that they had, she would just be mostly goth.
Goth lady,
Eastern Europeans.
Helena Bonham Carter
goth.
in your Fight Club. She's a goth.
Yeah,
I bet you they made you feel like you were part of a subculture, didn't they?
They did.
It turns out it was all calculated. Okay, it wasn't all calculated. They were pandering to people outside the subculture. They're doing BMW advertising to the people who can't afford it, right?
Well, that was why I didn't notice it at the time.
Exactly.
Because I was, I was pretty much a goth kid with, I was more of a metal kid, but I dressed like a goth kid. And then I would see this stuff and have absolutely no resonance in terms of that being similar to me. Like, it did not occur to me whatsoever.
You know, when we was kids, they said you could either be a goth kid or a metal kid.
Yeah.
To which I say, when you're looking down the barrel of a loaded gun, what's the difference?
Dun, dun, dun.
That's from The Departed as well, except I want to take a guess what I've replaced a goth kid and metal kid with.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's from the wiki quote article.
It was a cop or a criminal, right? Something like that?
Yeah, cops or criminals. Could either be cops or criminals. When you're looking down, staring down a loaded gun, what's the difference?
I remember an old grandma in a church when I was there because my mom was doing like a chorus. She has a chorus thing that she would do. And it was a non-denominational church, but a church nonetheless. And there was this old grandma in there and I was walking by and I was wearing all white, but ooh. I had like some leather stud things on my arms and stuff.
Stud
and
she bones.
Was, yeah, and she was like, "Now, what are you? Are you a gothic?"
Oh, excellent!
And I was like, "Well, I consider myself more of a person."
Oh, that's excellent!
Yeah,
I really wonder when is it gonna be chill for like girls to just like walk around in nun outfits? When is that gonna be cool? That's gonna happen, right? Gen Z, get on it!
I mean, I think I was actually thinking about this recently. I don't think nun outfits are something that people know outside of popular culture at this point. Like,
yeah, I know. You ever seen one for real?
Who's seen a nun outfit that is under 40?
Under 40? You know what? Every time in my life I done seen a nun, every single time I thought, that's a Halloween costume. That's not a real nun. Every single time. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah. You know where you run into a lot of nuns is Israel. They're all over the place.
Oh, they got them there. Yeah, don't they? Yeah. They're big on the
tours. Yeah.
I was in, what do you call that place? Italy. Mm-hmm. And there, you know, I was next to all the Catholicism and I can't remember. I must have seen nuns, but I don't remember them. I was in front of the dang Vatican.
You thought you'd see nuns and you didn't see none.
I saw none. I think I saw some of the dads going around, the fathers.
Oh, yeah. The holy fathers.
Yeah. Holy dads.
Oh, man. Wait, did you go to the Vatican?
I didn't go to the inside because there was a big...
They were all sequestered in there, probably.
There was a big line.
I did go in. I don't remember no nuns.
Yeah, there's not too many nuns around the Vatican, I don't think. I think you got to get to the inner cloisters.
I saw nuns in Poland, and I did 100%
think
that it was... Because there were several of them in a row.
They just don't look real.
And so I thought it was like a cosplay thing.
Yeah.
At first, and they had all these
that Polish cosplay. Yeah.
Yeah, Polish cosplay. Oh, actually, there's a lot of cosplay over there in Poland. I was at a minor.
I want to go to Poland.
Minor game convention thing. Actually, at the developer conference, Digital Dragons, there were people cosplaying. And they're like regular game developers. And they're just like, let's
dig drag.
I'm gonna dress up as this sexy zombie from whatever, or I don't know. It was odd. They had him.
I just like dressing up as myself these days. Brandon, I don't know if you knew this about me, but I've been basically dressing every time I go outdoors for the last 3 years. You'd be proud of me. I dress about 100% in black.
Nice.
I have a black jacket, black shirts, black jeans, black shoes. Just 100% in black.
I've been wearing all kinds of colors these days.
Oh, wild, huh?
Yep.
I went to Berlin dressed completely in black for a whole week. Everybody else there was, I thought it was like a joke for me to dress in black in Berlin. Then everybody else was dressed in black. And I was like, this rules. And everyone was treating me like a cool guy because I was dressed in black. They were like, hey, what's up? Do you want to buy a kebab? And I was like, yeah. It was great.
That's Europe right there for you. Hey, what's up? You want to buy a kebab? Yeah.
You ever have those kebabs in Berlin, those vegan kebabs with
the
halloumi?
I've never been to Berlin. I've been to four other German cities, but not to Berlin.
Oh man, I've been to Berlin. I've been to Hamburger. I've been to Frankfurter.
I've been to Hamburger, Frankfurter, Cologne.
München. You ever been to München?
No, I've never been there.
Oh, München, Munich. Munich is pretty nice.
Oh, well, I've munched on hamburgers and hot dogs, but
nice. Well, then you basically.
I forgot. I did have one like an accidental layover, and I hung out with a friend of the show in my hotel lobby, and then got back on the.
Was it Jan?
It was not. It was
easy way to tell is Kenny Cook.
Yeah, if you can, so can I.
Wait, which airport did you fly into?
It must have been. Oh man,
was it Tegel? Did you know that Tegel Airport is the first location you encounter in the video game Golgo 13 Top Secret episode?
Oh.
The first level called the Iron Curtain. You arrive at Tegel Airport. And I remember that phrase Tegel Airport burned into my brain. And then when I got an airplane ticket that was landing in Tegel Airport, I was like, nice. 2018. I'm like, I'm landing at Tegel Airport from Golgo 13 Top Secret episode.
I've definitely had those kinds of feelings where, you know, I connect a thing from long ago and then I'm like, wow, I'm there.
It's the Super Metroid effect.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. It's where you just connect two little things over the time, a time bridge. Man, Berlin is cool. Anybody who checks out Berlin, check it out. That's all I got to say.
Good idea.
It's the cool thing about Berlin is I don't even recommend any particular thing.
Check out Berlin.
It was just cool to just walk around and enjoy some meals and some lovely coffees and teas.
I got a copy of Clock Tower 3 over here, by the way, finally, because in preparation for next year's horror episode, I wanted to be able to play that. It's cool that it is the one video game credit of that Battle Royale guy. He directed the cutscenes of this video game. So I'm curious about that. It probably doesn't mean nothing. He probably just put a check mark next to it. But
wait, which guy? Fukusaku Kenji?
Yeah, he directed the cutscenes of Clock Tower 3.
I didn't know that. I like that guy. I mean, he's dead as heck now.
He's real dead.
Yeah, he got 100% owned by time. Life. Man, Battle Royale's cool. Battle Royale's something I plan to rewatch soon on my big boy TV.
Imagine making the movie Battle Royale while you're like 80 years old.
Yeah, that owns. It's like he was apparently just told by his son or whatever. He's like, this is a cool story. And he's like, yeah, okay. And he like reads the book and he's like, yeah, I can make a movie out of this. And then he just makes that real good film. I don't know if that's the official story, though. I know that he was just like brought the book and told that he should make a movie out of it.
And then his son directed the sequel and it's terrible.
Yeah, the sequel is one of those monstrously bad movies that makes you upset at the industry that created it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is there any good example of like a child inheriting their parents' work and like actually doing something cool with it?
No.
Goro Miyazaki did that Tales from Earthsea for Ghibli. Movie's incredible. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Has nepotism ever worked? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Has nepotism ever worked?
I think it works in business, but not in creative stuff.
Yeah.
Occasionally it works in business, but that's just through luck or whatever.
Well, there was this guy who managed to become the president of the United States after his dad gave him a bunch of money. Wait, that's like half the presidents.
That's
sorry.
Most of them.
Yeah. Oops. This is a country we hold these truths to be self-evident that daddy's money better than anything.
Yeah.
God darn it. Welcome back to Kurosawa's the Dirtbag Hour After Hours.
Akira Kurosawa's son helped with Seven Samurai 20XX.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which was also bad.
As far as I know, I think they drugged him and then like rolled him in on like a, what's that thing that you stack boxes on?
A pallet?
It's like the one where it's like the thing that Hannibal Lecter is on in Silence of the Lambs
when they
wheel him out.
Cart.
Like a hand cart, but it's got like a flat bottom. There's got to be a word for that. The industry's getting it.
Can have a flat bottom.
Looking at the Wikipedia right now, it's called a Lecter cart. That's a joke. Mm. Yeah, I think they just wheeled him in on one of those and he was like, yeah,
welcome
okay.
to Lecter cart.
A Lecter cart. I think he kind of must have done it like with what suffices for begrudgingness.
Tim, have you read any of Frank Herbert's Sun's Dunes? I have not, of course.
I perused them. I consider them on about the level of L. Sprague de Camp's Conan stories.
Okay.
A little deep cut for anybody. Are we still recording this?
Kinda, yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
No, this is the good stuff, I guess.
Yeah, this is the
good
stuff.
Yeah, this is the bonus stuff.
Did you know that if you spell Lecter cart backwards, it's Dracula?
I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now. Do you like my new I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now bit?
I'm ambivalent.
I think it's good.
I like it.
I think it's pretty good. If we're going to try it again next week more convincingly.
All right.
Everyone gets one I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now token per episode.
All right.
I think we need to have a couple more board game design elements. Jaffe, how much do you know about tabletop games with hidden information? You got to find the spy or whatever.
I do, but like I thought you guys didn't like that stuff.
No, as long as it's something subtle, like somebody's a narc each episode.
Right.
I don't mind it.
Secret word kind of stuff.
Somebody's the narc.
Yeah, secret word.
One of us has been fed
good.
All the questions before, yeah. Like days beforehand.
You said a couple words earlier. You said growing repository, and even though it's not gross, it sounds really gross. Like growing repository.
I love it.
Are you sure you didn't think of a suppository?
Yeah, that's
probably there somewhere, and it's growing. There's a growing thing. That's
at least
like
he didn't say groaning suppository.
Meat.
He said growing repository.
An ever-groaning suppository of bonus content.
Oh, my light just turned red because of that.
Here's some questions that I was hoping.
Now it's green. Oh my
we
god.
We would talk about with Ash here, which were one. I wanted to talk about video game console boxes. I thought that that would have been a good one. And another one is it would have been cool to just talk about those Metal Gear Solid songs and whatnot, because you know that article.
You'll just have to ask me back.
Yeah, we'll have you back.
We'll have you back soon.
Oh, you wrote that Kotaku story about the snake eater lady?
Yeah, that was me.
Snake eater lady. Oh man, that song is hilarious. I love it. It's a good song.
Did you know that when they gave out that CD at E3 that it was a completely different mix than what was in the game? Oh yeah.
Do you have it?
Yeah, so that I used
to
have
Video Game History Foundation.
We don't have it. Do you remember they gave it out in like an LP sleeve and it was just a CD inside and it ended up being a completely different mix than what was in the game?
We were at that E3 together, I believe.
Oh yeah. That's when we met, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So if your beat is just singers on video games, are you going to talk to Emmy Evans from the Nier games?
You know, everybody at Kotaku is like joking, like, you should find these obscure people that have made these amazing games or songs and have never been heard from again. So I'm looking for folks to find them.
There's one that I really want to do, but nobody will ever, nobody could possibly ever care about this, unfortunately. There's a game called Final Zone 2 on the TurboGrafx CD.
Final Zone.
And in this series, I mean, in this game, there are like three vocal songs and they re-recorded all of them in English for this release in like 1992, which is, I think, the earliest I can think of them doing anything like that. And
earlier.
And
Psycho Soldier.
But I guess it was re-recorded, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And we don't know who that singer was.
Right, and I don't know who this singer is either because he's not in the credits, and there's a lady too. And I would love to find out because he does such a he's really putting his all into it. Like some of those, it's just like whoever they could find, but this guy's really really going for it. I'm gonna send you all the
he's just going bonkers.
The songs, but I mean it's not. He's just taking it seriously. He's not going wild or anything. He's just
so like, I just having no idea what this music's like when you just say someone just putting everything into it. My brain just went to Michael Bolton for some reason.
Bolt Man.
It's just Michael Bolton just like wondering how he's supposed to live without you.
Yeah. Michael Bolton is soundtrack. Michael Belton.
Yeah.
Michael Bolton rules. No, he doesn't. Isn't he all like, what do you call it? Hasn't he become self-aware and he knows people think he's funny now and he has
gained sentience. He has activated.
He's on that die level where he's like, oh, I'm in on the joke too, folks.
I'm in on the joke that is me. Can
I bet
you imagine
people have
being
done that to Kenny
joke?
G already? Kenny G's got to be one of those.
Unironically love Kenny G. Not even joking.
You know what? A soprano saxophone sure does beat most other saxophones, in my opinion. No offense.
It's true. They look like
metal
clarinet.
I'm more of a
clarinet.
Chuck Mangione guy.
Hey, now! Is this part of the podcast where we're talking about fucking all of my favorite jazz artists?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is good.
I love Chuck Mangione.
It's horn hour. Let's go.
We were going to talk about jazz fusion.
Jazz fusion.
So when I think of jazz fusion, I think of white dudes with ponytails and Japanese dudes with ponytails is what I think of. So I got like Jeff Lorber.
Love Jeff Lorber.
Jeff Lorber. I like Bob James did a couple of fusion albums. Like he's a legit jazz man, but then he did some fusion-y stuff that I liked.
Nothing wrong with fusion being legit. T-Square.
There's this group called Spies. Also the Rippingtons. I listen to a lot of Rippingtons.
I love the Rippingtons.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Cool. Well, you know what got me into jazz fusion is TurboGrafx CD games, because because all these Japanese game composers were listening to American jazz, well, like Japanese bands that learned from the American bands doing jazz fusion, and then the game composers were copying that. And then through that, I listened to it and I was like, I like this stuff. And then I found what was being referenced all the way back. It's like kind of a roundabout way.
Every game soundtrack comes from Yellow Magic Orchestra.
Yeah, from that Ray Dean song.
Basically, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or straight from Hanuman. Brandon, look at my my little picture that I just put in the chat. That's what I'm working on right now. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I
mean, cool.
Toki yeah. Memos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
That shirt.
Yeah, do you like the shirt?
Yeah, that's perfect for this. Oh, I know that shirt.
It's a chambray shirt. Very nice.
So, Tim, I don't think you've heard the Final Zone 2 intro song, probably.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? You said you were liking it.
Yeah, I'll get it. The Final Zone 2 intro is very much like a Japanese, it's like an anime intro song, sort of, but like a 70s style. Let me just see if I can get it.
I know Final Zone 2.
Yeah.
I played that game somewhat recently.
Most of my jazz fusion tastes come from the seatbelts and extrapolating from there.
Hmm. Sure.
It's all about Naniwa Express. They're my favorite.
I've been going through
I got into jazz fusion because I was bullied into listening to it by a man who used to basically beat people up for the Yakuza. And he was an aggressive man.
Did you know that the first... Yeah, hold on.
He introduced me to some songs and I thought, this sounds like video games. And it just turned out that me and him had more taste in common than I had thought. Here's Naniwa Express performing Believin', which I was listening to on the day that...
My Humps came out.
My Humps was released
on My Humps 0 Hour.
Listening to it on the Hibiya line on the way from Ueno all the way down to Akasaka Mitsuke.
Did you know that the first autocomplete result on Google for Final Zone is Final Zone Fortnite?
Oh no,
unfortunate. Yeah.
Okay, I'm listening to this. Yeah, I've heard this song.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm listening to it here.
Okay, I like
it. Bowie's Chance.
Yeah.
I'm going to send this to my partner because he's one of those big, like, old video game kind of nerds. He might.
Like us.
Yeah.
That song's good, too.
Yeah, please do.
You know what who he sounds like to me?
Who?
It sounds like Vin Diesel singing.
Oh.
Vin Diesel released some music recently, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he did.
Yeah, he did. Actually.
All right, let's see if he sounds like that.
Vincent Diesel.
Everybody, please just watch this video of Naniwa Express performing Believin'.
I will.
It's one of my favorite YouTube videos.
I will.
I've been watching it very frequently since I first saw it. Since 2009, I've been watching this video every
once in a while.
So
you're telling us not to stop this video.
Yeah, don't stop Believin'. It's a good video of a good song.
I've been wanting to, like... I've been missing going to Japan for a variety of reasons, but I would really like to go over there and buy a bunch of jazz fusion CDs.
CDs
to bring back with myself.
They do
CDs
jazz
here.
Legit.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
No joke.
It's it's
have
bizarre.
You listened to T Square?
I haven't heard of T Square. No.
T Square is legit. Have you listened to Cassiopeia, Brandon?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That's a pretty mainstream one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's all about Naniwa Express and their related bands to me.
I loved Death, Soil, and Pimp Sessions. I fucking love them. Because I like the idea of the fact that they just have a hype man who does nothing, who doesn't like play an instrument or anything. He just stands there and looks like the eponymous pimp and just like is the hype dude. It's awesome. He's just cool.
So you said Soil and Pimp Sessions earlier, and I was like, all right, I'm going to like Google that so I remember later. And what I heard was Soilent Pimp Sessions, which is definitely not. But the closest that Google had was Soylent Pimples. So I've really messed up. I've really, really messed up my Google search history.
Soylent Pimp. Yeah.
Soylent Green is pimples. It's pimples.
So, Google thinks that I drink Soylent and have broken out in acne because of it.
I'm going to tell you what. Almost any kind of imbibable thing that is for a healthy person gives me some kind of a skin problem. Creatine. My skin is destroyed instantaneously, less than 24 hours. Pimples all over.
Water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. Uh-huh. Oh, the square. Is that?
It's called creatine because it creates
I love this
complexion.
I like this record. This T-square record.
I'll listen to this Soil and Pimp sessions later while I'm doing the rest of my work.
I mean, I guess for some reason, I didn't realize everybody knows that Toshiki Kadomatsu, The Sea is a Lady album. Everybody knows that album now. It's not jazz fusion per se, but for some reason, it turns out that the kids like that album. So I'm running out of stuff that I like that the kids haven't discovered. So...